We get up early, we throw our bags in the car, off we go to the airport, get to the airport, park the car, get in to wait for the plane, and we buy a cup of coffee, because it's early, and a donut. Then we get on the plane after we've eaten our coffee and donut, and they've boarded us. Plane flies down the runway, and at the last minute, the tail dips down, and you skip over that metal fence that you're about ready to hit at over 100 miles an hour, and off you go. That sounds pretty uneventful, doesn't it? But if you think about it, isn't that whole thing incredibly risky? Aren't you trusting people in ways you normally, I don't think, would? That lady you bought that cup of coffee from and the donut, do you know anything about that coffee? You've never even met the lady before. Who knows what she puts in it? That donut, what's in the donut? We still wonder what's in most donuts anyway. But you understand the point. And that lady where she bought her coffee, she probably doesn't know a thing about where she bought it when she serves it to you. You get in a plane. Are you really sure that thing is going to make it off the runway at the end? Did you check the tires? Have you looked at its service records? Those pilots, do you know a thing about them? I mean, nowadays they lock the cabin doors. You don't even see the guy who's flying it. You're going to be sealed for hours in a cabin with people you've never met before. Can you trust them? These are all the kind of questions that you'd think be going around in your head. But we go right on our trip and don't even think anything of it. In fact, we have incredible faith in all kinds of people we've never even met before. Isn't that true? To live, we have to extend faith to people we know nothing about. And that happens in everyday life. You go to a restaurant and you write a check for your food, and in good faith, they trust you. There's actually money in that account. You get your car repaired. I have my car repaired, and they give you the bill, and here's the parts they replaced, and here's all the things they did, and you say, start it, and say, you know, it looks just like it did before I brought it in. But in good faith, you trust the mechanic what they told you was the truth, and they actually did replace those parts. It's all about faith. Now, if we're going to survive in this world, we have to extend faith to people we've never even met and trust them in big ways. But the Bible is clear that it's not just about faith in people we need to survive, but we have to extend faith to God if we're going to survive and thrive spiritually. Isn't that true? Now the question is, how do we end up living for all that Christ has for us here and now? How do we do that? That is called living by faith. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What does it mean to live by faith? We're sort of going over another hump in the book of Hebrews. We're getting into Hebrews chapter 11, which talks about faith. This is a great chapter. We're going to spend some time here. It's sort of like a mini series inside of a series on what it means to live by faith. And we're just going to look at this morning the first three verses of chapter 11. And what that is going to give us is a pocket-sized definition of faith, what it is, and what it looks like in action. So stand with me, and we're going to read the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And that ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Okay, we're going to talk about three things about faith, and they're all going to begin with faith is. Here's the first one. Faith is evidence of God in my life. I have to explain that. It sounds a little weird how faith is evidence of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You may want to circle the word sure and circle the word certain, because these words are really rich in meaning in the original Greek. And when we come up to the English here, there's a variety of ways that translators have translated it, because nothing really fully captures what these words mean in the English. And so they've struggled over the years to try and capture them. Now, I'm going to explain these words to you, but I'm going to do them in reverse order. We're going to start with the word certain. The word certain is also sometimes translated proof. So you could say, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and it's proof of what we do not see. Other translators that go back earlier, they use the word evidence. And I think the word evidence is the word we're going to key in on today, and it's a good translation. It just doesn't seem to make one bit of logical sense. How could faith be evidence of what we do not see? Think about that. Don't we need evidence to have faith? And here it's saying things backwards. Our faith is evidence of what we don't see. So even that's a good translation of what the Greek is saying there. Most modern translators don't translate it that way, because we would read it and go, faith is evidence of what we don't see? That makes sense. I need evidence of what I don't see to have faith. It's backwards. There's got to be a mistake in here somewhere. I was wrestling with this week, trying to say, okay, what is going on here? And then it occurred to me that verse 3 is actually an illustration of this. Verse 3 sort of unlocks this key. And I'm going to explain this to you, and follow me through, because it may not make sense at first. But the farther we go into this, all of a sudden I'm going to watch your eyes, and the light bulbs are going to be coming on as to what's going on here. Look what verse 3 says. By faith we understand, or put it, you can say the word can in there. By faith we can understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, I'm going to read it again, we can understand the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Are you beginning to see a little relationship here? Faith is giving us the ability to understand that the word was created, or the world was created, by the word of God. You guys ever watch Discovery Channel or National Geographic? Anybody watch those things? Yeah, and you know what the guy always does? He comes up and he says, now, this is the trilobite. The trilobite was made 6 million years ago, and it was evolved out of this. And essentially, he comes up and he starts this whole thing where he says, the earth is so old, and everything's been evolving, and here's pond scum. And pond scum developed the brain and eyeballs one day, and next thing you know, it was a fish. And then the fish developed feathers, and he flew around, and next thing you know, we have apes and mans, and we've all evolved. And they always tell you these kind of things on those programs, don't they? And you're sitting here saying to yourself, doesn't he see it? I mean, does this guy need a drug test or what? How can he say any of this with a straight face that we are all just evolved? I mean, you look outside and you see the grass and you say, how could this just happen? You look at people, how could that just happen? You look at an eyeball, how could this just happen? And how can some people on one side say this is all evolved, and you have usually a variety of Christians, I'm going to say, on the other side going, man, can't you just see this is all God's handiwork? You know why we see it one way and people see it others? Faith gives us the ability to understand that the world was created by the word of God. Isn't that what it just said? God, when he gives us faith, he gives us the ability to be able to see his fingerprints over everything that was made very clearly. Now, look at the rest of verse 3, because this really does just a terrible, and it really messes with this whole idea of evolution. so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God made it. And the reason we see it that way is because of our faith. And where did our faith come from? It came from God, who gave us the ability to see his fingerprints on things. So when you go back to verse 1 where it says, faith is evidence of what we do not see. Faith is evidence of what we don't see. In other words, our faith and our ability to see things like the world was created by the hand of God is evidence that God has put his faith in our life. That's where it comes from. I know it sounds a little bit heady, but are you getting to understand how this works? God gives us the ability to be able to see things that others can't. God gives us the ability to have faith that others can't. It's like Franklin Graham, he was asked about where faith comes from. And he said, faith, it's a little bit like how a turtle gets on top of a fence post. And the guy asked him, well, what does that mean? He says, the turtle doesn't get on top of the fence post unless somebody puts it there. Faith doesn't come about in our life unless God puts it there. Okay? And maybe another way to look at it is this. You guys remember the rage a couple years ago of those 3D images that were built into paintings? Remember those things? You'd look at them and it was like a picture of a face or a dolphin. And you'd say, just look at it long enough and just sort of twist your eyes a little bit and squint. And all of a sudden you'll see this picture of a lamb pop out. And half of your friends are going, oh yeah, I see it there. And the other ones are going, what are you talking about? I just can't see that thing. And that's a little bit like it is with creation. God has given us the ability to see his fingerprints all over everything. So when we have faith in God, it actually is evidence of God in our life because it wouldn't be able to come from any place else. I mean, how are you going to prove God exists? I mean, inside of our universe, other than seeing his fingerprints. Okay, secondly, what is faith? Now, faith, is the ability to live for more than I can see. It's the ability to live for more than I can see. Let's go back to this other word at the very beginning. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. This word sure has been translated a variety of ways, and it's once again, it's one of these things, it's a little slippery. Some people translate it certain. Other times it's been translated as substance. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. And as you look at this word, what it really has to do with, like, it's the substructure or it's the framework. Maybe a good way to look at it, it's like tent poles. You know what a tent is? You get that tent out there and it's flat on the ground. It's a great tent, but there's nothing in it until you put the poles in it and all of a sudden, that supports the whole thing. It extends it up into the air. Now you have a little house because the tent poles were the substance that supported it. That's what our faith does. We have faith, okay, and we know that God's out there. We can see the evidence on creation, and it gives us the ability to live for more than we can see. And people around us are going to look at us and go, well, how could you make those choices? Why would you do those things? Because it's not going to add up here. And we say, well, it does add up, but it's not adding up here. It's adding up not on the earthly realm, but in the spiritual realm. And we can sense that it's true, and we live for what is true. Let me give you the example here. Count me in. We had that offering in July. And if you know nothing about this church, and you come in the door, and you say, okay, $192,000 come in on one Sunday, and you might think, okay, these people have a lot of money just to throw around. Must have a lot of good paychecks and not much to do around here because they're giving $192,000 to their church. There must be an amusement park going in somewhere in the back there. Why would they do that? Well, we learned when we prepared for giving that offering, we learned what it says in Matthew. Don't store up your treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but we can store up our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And all of a sudden, because we have faith And not this, this is not like faith and faith, empty faith, but this is the faith from God. It gives us the ability to trust in Christ, real faith. Because we have that faith, all of a sudden we can sense the heavenly realities, the spiritual realities, and we can live for them. And we take an offering and people are joyfully laying up their treasure in heaven, confident that's where it's going. Isn't that true? It gives us the ability to live for more than we can see. Now, teenagers, let me just apply this to you. You know, because when you go to school, you have this sense that it's always about the most important thing to do is to be popular. You know, you don't want to be on the outcast of your friends. And so you do anything you can to be popular, to put a smile on your friend's face. But faith, it's sort of like night vision goggles, where you can see things that your friends can't see. You can see things spiritually. You can sense what is a spiritual reality, not just an earthly reality. And you start to realize it is more important to put a smile on God's face with your life than to put a smile on your friend's face with your life. And your friends say, well, why aren't you going to the party? Why aren't you doing that? What are you weird? And in your heart, you're going, I know this is not what God would have me do. And it's more important to put a smile on God's face than it is to put a smile on your face. You understand that? You have the ability to live for more than you can see. How about athletics? I know in our house, we're sort of an athletic kind of people. We like to do the football, the wrestling, all that kind of stuff. And one of the discussions we have is, you know, it's great if you can win a state championship. It's great if you can have all these little trophies around your house. But you know what? The reality is they don't mean anything. They really don't. Who do you want to receive a reward from? Some die down at the state finals, or do you want to receive a reward from Jesus Christ when you stand before his judgment seat at the end of time when he hands out rewards for how you live for him? And that reward lasts for eternity. You can sense that because you have God's spirit in you. Now, other people are going to think you're crazy living for Christ with all your heart. But you're saying, well, I'm living for the real reward, the real championship. You can sense that. And you have the ability to live for it because God has given you faith. Now, remember, this is not like faith and faith. This is the real substance, the ability to be able to live for Christ. Adults, we have the same thing. People around us are saying, here's the important stuff in life. Get a big this, a fast that, a shiny red, whatever you want to call it. That's the important stuff to live for. Isn't that what everyone's saying? And you have the thing going in your heart going, I can see that life is more than a big this, a fast that, a shiny car. In fact, I can see that it's more important to live for what is the spiritual reality than the earthly shadow. You can sense that. You can see that. You can live for more. So, here's what we've learned. Faith, the fact we have faith in Christ, is actually evidence of God, because how else would you have faith in him? Real faith. Secondly, faith gives us the ability to live for more than we can see with our earthly eyes, because we can sense and see the spiritual reality. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Faith is the funnel through which God's blessings flow. It's the funnel through which all God's blessings flow. It's combining point one, then point two, living by it, and what happens? We get to point three. God blesses us. He commends us. Hebrews 11:2, for by it people of old received their commendation. Here's the point, folks. Living by faith opens the window of opportunity for God to commend us. How about the Bible? Every page you turn is this same kind of theme going over and over again. Daniel goes in the lion's den. It's a conflict between what everyone sees and what he knows is spiritually true. Remember that? Okay, fear Nebuchadnezzar or fear God? Who should I really fear? Who should I really honor? God. It opens the window of opportunity for God to commend his faith. The lions keep their mouth shut. David and Goliath. What's the real thing to fear? Goliath or God? Who's the one who's going to win the battle? David or God is going to enable him to win the battle? Or is he looking at things earthly, or is he going to look at things spiritually? You see the conflict there? David beats Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fiery furnace. Remember that one? We will not bow down and serve you, because it's more important to serve God than it is to serve you. Open window of opportunity opens, right? Because the conflict between what everyone sees and what we know is spiritually true. Window of opportunity comes around and God commends them. And they walk around in the fire unharmed. Now, here's the deal, folks. This is how it applies to us every day. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Here's what it means when it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. There is going to be in our lives, regularly in our lives, conflicts between what we see or what looks like and adds up on earth and what we know is spiritually true about God. And if you live for what is the spiritual reality as opposed to what everyone else sees on the earthly reality, people are going to think you're crazy. And it may be, at least it looks like, great personal cost. But I want to tell you, that is when the opportunity opens up for God to step in, for God to commend you, for God to support you. What does it say here? He rewards those who earnestly seek him. I guess I've had a real hard time getting this conclusion together, so this may be a little weird, but I'm just going to sort of speak from my heart. I really feel that as I look at American Christians today, and as a pastor, you wrestle with this. There's a lot of Christians who, they sense that Christ is there. They have faith, you know, that first step. They have the ability to live by faith, but when the conflict comes in their life, they wimp out. They back off. They say, well, I can't pay those kind of taxes. I can't be that honest on my tax return because it would cost me too much. It would kill me financially. No, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity for God to commend you. You know, I couldn't be alone. It's okay. That person, I can date them. They don't really love Christ with all their heart. You know, I can missionary date. We have missionaries. I can be one. New Perspectives course application, right? No, that is saying that what I see on earth is more important than what I know spiritually to be true, and I'm going to deny God the opportunity to commend me for living by faith. Don't do it. I mean, I see this all the time, and I'm trying not to get too specific with examples. Does anybody know what I'm talking about, where you have this conflict between what you see as earthly reality and heavenly reality, and this tension is there, and you have to make a choice which you're going to honor? Anybody understand that? Honor Christ, because that is the opportunity for God to commend you. Faith is believing that God is more reliable than the person you picked up that cup of coffee from as you went on the airport that morning. Is God more reliable than the person you picked up the cup of coffee from? Yes. But so often, we don't believe he is. Friends, God honors those who honor him. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. I just ask that you would help us to be people that live by faith as we get into these conflicts where we wrestle back and forth saying, well, this isn't expedient. This isn't going to work out. I need to compromise. I need to bend what I think is true. I ask that you would help us as a congregation to be people that live by faith, knowing that we're now putting ourselves in an opportunity where only you can provide. And help us to be confident.